Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. This time, we're tackling a topic that's pretty complex, but also really fascinating: quantum computing.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things. It seems like it's straight out of science fiction, but
it really does.
It's becoming a reality a lot faster than a lot of people realize.
And you sent over some really interesting stuff on this, an article that lays out kind of the basics, but also like some of the potential applications of it. And it is pretty mind-blowing. I mean, we're talking about a technology that could like revolutionize pretty much every industry you can think of.
It really could.
Yeah.
I think the thing that really gets me about quantum computing is that it's based on quantum mechanics, which is such a weird and counterintuitive area of physics.
Absolutely.
And it allows for like computational power that is just way beyond anything that we can even imagine with our current computers.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit, because the article mentions these things called qubits. And that seems to be like the core of what makes quantum computing different. So can you kind of break down for us what a qubit is and how it's different from the bits that like our laptops and phones use?
Sure. So think of a bit in your computer like a light switch.
Okay.
It can be either on or off.
On or off.
One or zero, right?
Right.
A qubit is more like a dimmer switch.
Okay.
It can be on, off, or somewhere in between.
Interesting.
And that in between is what we call superposition.
Okay, wait. So it's not that it's flipping back and forth between on and off. It's that it's both at the same time.
It's both at the same time.
That's trippy.
It is. And that's kind of the key to the power of quantum computers. Because it can be in multiple states at once, it can explore many possibilities simultaneously.
So it's almost like the computer is like thinking in parallel universes or something. It's exploring all these different paths at once.
That's a great way to think about it.
So it's not just speed. It's like,
it's parallelism. It's doing a lot of things at the same time.
Okay, so we've got superposition. That's wild.
Right.
And then the article also mentions this other concept, entanglement. And I have to admit, that one kind of freaks me out a little bit. Can you explain what entanglement is?
Okay, so imagine you have two of those dimmer switches, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're entangled. So if you turn one up, the other one automatically turns down no matter how far apart they are.
Wait a minute. So it's like they're connected.
They're connected.
But like instantly.
Instantly. It's like they're communicating faster than the speed of light, which we know is impossible.
Okay, now that is just mind-boggling. It's like they have this like secret, invisible connection.
They do. And this spooky action at a distance, as Einstein called it,
right,
is what allows quantum computers to do these really complex computations that would take classical computers like forever.
So entanglement is like the secret sauce.
That's a big part of it.
Really makes these quantum computers work.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got these qubits. They can be in multiple states at once thanks to superposition.
Right.
And then they can be linked together in this crazy way called entanglement.
Exactly.
But the article also mentioned that quantum computing is not all sunshine and roses. There are some pretty significant challenges. What are some of the biggest hurdles that researchers are facing in this field?
Yeah, so one of the biggest ones is something called decoherence, which is basically just the fact that these quantum states are super fragile. Like the slightest disturbance from the environment can cause them to collapse. It's like trying to balance a pencil on its tip.
Right.
Any little vibration and boom, it falls over.
So it's like you're trying to build this incredibly delicate, intricate machine, but the slightest breeze could just knock it all apart.
Exactly. And then the other big challenge is scalability. Right now, we can only build quantum computers with a relatively small number of qubits.
Okay.
To really unlock the power of quantum computing, we need to be able to build machines with thousands or even millions of qubits.
Yeah. So it's like we have these powerful but very finicky tools.
That's a good way to put it.
And we're still figuring out how to really harness them.
Yeah.
And how to even just build them on a larger scale.
Exactly. It's a very young field. We're just getting started.
But despite those challenges, there are already some like real world applications of quantum computing starting to emerge, right? The article mentioned something about Google making some pretty groundbreaking progress.
Yeah. A few years ago, Google announced that they had achieved quantum supremacy, which basically means that they had built a quantum computer that could perform a specific task.
Okay.
That would take a classical computer like millions of years to do.
Like millions of years versus like how long did it take the quantum computer?
It took the quantum computer a few minutes.
Oh my gosh. That's like comparing a snail to a spaceship.
Pretty much, yeah.
Does this mean that we've reached the point where quantum computers are just like better than classical computers in every way?
Not quite. The task that Google's quantum computer performed was very specific.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a practical task. It was more of a proof of concept.
So it was kind of like showing off that they could do this one really cool trick.
Yeah, exactly.
But not necessarily that they could, like, run your email or something like that.
Not yet. But it was a big step forward.
Okay, so Google's doing some cool stuff. I'm guessing other big companies are getting involved in this too, right?
Oh, yeah. IBM, for example, has created something called the IBM Q Network, which is basically a cloud-based platform that allows people to access quantum computers remotely.
So instead of having to, like, build your own quantum computer,
exactly.
You can just kind of, like, rent some time on what
you got out of the cloud.
Yep. And that's really important because it makes this technology much more accessible to researchers and businesses.
This is starting to feel like the early days of the internet where you have this, like, new technology with all this potential.
Yeah, it's very similar.
But it was still really early and people were just starting to figure out what to do with it. Exactly. And I think we're going to see a lot of exciting developments in the next few years as quantum computing becomes more accessible and people start to experiment with it.
Okay, so we've got these qubits, this idea of superposition and entanglement. We've talked about some of the challenges and we've talked about some of the early progress that's being made. But I'm still kind of curious, like, how do these quantum computers actually work?
Yeah, that's a great question. And honestly, it's pretty complicated.
Okay.
But the basic idea is that instead of using bits, which are like those on-off switches we talked about, quantum computers use qubits, which can be in multiple states at once.
Right.
And by manipulating these qubits using special algorithms, we can perform calculations that would be impossible for a classical computer.
So it's not just a matter of taking our existing code and running it on a faster machine. We need entirely new ways of thinking about computation.
Exactly. It's a whole new paradigm.
This is incredible. It's clear that we've only just scratched the surface of this whole quantum computing thing. But before we dive into all the mind-blowing potential applications, I think it's time to take a short break. We'll be back soon to explore how quantum computing is poised to revolutionize industries and what the future holds for this game-changing technology.
Sounds good.
All right, we're back, and my head is still spinning a little bit from all that quantum stuff, but let's try to bring it down to earth a little and talk about, like, how is this technology actually being used today? You know, the article mentions applications and stuff like medicine and finance and even material science, which I thought was interesting. So can you give us some, like, concrete examples of how quantum computing is making a real-world impact right now?
Yeah, absolutely. It's still early days, but we're already starting to see some really exciting applications. One area where quantum computing is showing a lot of promise is in drug discovery.
Okay, drug discovery. How does that work?
So designing new drugs is a really complex process. It involves understanding how molecules interact with each other. And that's something that quantum computers are really good at simulating.
So instead of, like, doing all these experiments in a lab, scientists can use a quantum computer to kind of, like, test out different drug candidates virtually?
Exactly. They can simulate how these molecules would behave in the body.
Yeah.
And that can significantly speed up the drug discovery process.
That's amazing. And it could potentially lead to, like, new cures for diseases that we haven't been able to treat before.
Absolutely. That's the hope. And it's not just drug discovery. Quantum computing is also being used to develop new materials.
New materials? Like, what kind of materials?
Well, for example, there's a lot of interest in developing materials that are lighter and stronger than what we have today. Think about airplanes, for example.
Yeah.
If we can make airplanes out of materials that are just as strong but much lighter, we could save a lot of fuel.
That makes sense. So how do quantum computers help with that?
They can simulate the behavior of atoms and molecules at a very detailed level. And that allows scientists to design materials with specific properties, like strength and weight.
So instead of just kind of, like, mixing stuff together in a lab and seeing what happens.
Right, exactly.
They can actually use a quantum computer to design the material from the ground up.
Yeah, it's much more precise.
Wow, that's really cool. Okay, so we've got drug discovery, we've got material science. What other areas are seeing an impact from quantum computing?
Another really interesting area is financial modeling.
Financial modeling. Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about that.
Well, financial markets are incredibly complex. There are so many factors that can affect stock prices and other financial instruments, and it's really difficult to predict what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's why I stay away from the stock market. Too much risk for me.
I hear you.
Yeah.
But with quantum computers, we might be able to build much more accurate financial models. Models that can take into account all of these different factors and make better predictions about what's going to happen in the market.
So potentially like less risk and better returns for investors?
Potentially, yes. Of course, there's no guarantee. But quantum computing could definitely give us a much better understanding of how financial markets work.
This is fascinating. It seems like quantum computing could have applications in just about every field you can think of.
It really could.
Yeah.
And we've only just scratched the surface. I think in the next few years, we're going to see even more amazing applications emerge as this technology continues to develop.
It's kind of mind-blowing to think about all the possibilities, but I'm also kind of curious about, like, what are some of the challenges that are still holding back the progress of quantum computing?
Yeah, so we talked earlier about decoherence and scalability,
mm-hmm.
and those are still major challenges. But there's another big one, which is the lack of a skilled workforce.
Okay, a skilled workforce. What do you mean by that?
Well, quantum computing is a very specialized field. You need a deep understanding of quantum mechanics, computer science, and mathematics to really work in this field.
Yeah, I can imagine it's not something you just pick up overnight.
Definitely not. And right now, there aren't enough people with those skills. So one of the big challenges facing the industry is training up the next generation of quantum computing experts.
So it's like we have this incredibly powerful technology, but not enough people who know how to use it.
That's right. And that's something that needs to change if we want to see the full potential of quantum computing realized.
I see. So it sounds like there's a lot of work to be done, not just on the technology side, but also on the education and training side.
Exactly. We need to invest in education and training programs that will equip people with the skills they need to work in this field. And we need to start doing that now.
That makes sense, because otherwise it's like having a Ferrari but not knowing how to drive it.
That's a perfect analogy.
So it's a really exciting time for this field, but there are still some pretty big challenges ahead.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm optimistic that we'll overcome those challenges. There's so much momentum behind quantum computing right now. There's a lot of investment, there's a lot of research, and there's a lot of excitement. So I think the future is very bright for this technology.
It sounds like it. And I'm really curious to see what the next few years hold.
Me too. It's going to be an exciting ride.
I think we're just getting started. But before we get too carried away, I think it's time for one last break. We'll be back soon to wrap up this deep dive with some final thoughts and predictions for the future of quantum computing. Stay tuned. All right, so we're back. And I got to say, my brain is officially fried.
Yeah, it's a lot to digest.
Quantum mechanics, qubits, entanglement. It's like...
it's a whole new world.
It really is. But before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to kind of zoom out and think about, like, the big picture. Where do we go from here? What's the future of quantum computing look like?
Honestly, I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg. Like, we barely scratched the surface of what this technology can do.
Okay, so paint me a picture. What do you see happening in the next, say, 5, 10, 20 years?
Well, I think, first of all, we're going to see a lot more practical applications emerge. We talked about drug discovery and material science, but there's so many other areas where quantum computing could have a huge impact.
Like what?
Like, think about logistics and optimization.
Okay.
You know, figuring out the most efficient way to route deliveries or manage traffic flow or optimize supply chains. Those are all problems that are really hard for classical computers to solve, but quantum computers could potentially handle them much more efficiently.
So we're talking about like solving traffic jams and making sure packages arrive on time.
Exactly. And that's just one example. There's also a lot of potential in fields like artificial intelligence and machine learning.
Right. We touched on that a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Right now, AI is limited by the computational power of classical computers. But with quantum computers, we could train AI systems on much larger data sets, and that could lead to breakthroughs in areas like natural language processing, image recognition, and even self-driving cars.
So we're talking about AI that can actually, like, understand and respond to us in a more human-like way.
Exactly. And AI that can learn and adapt much faster than what we have today.
That's both exciting and a little bit terrifying, to be honest.
I know, right? But it's important to remember that technology is a tool. It can be used for good or for bad. And it's up to us to make sure that we're using quantum computing in a way that benefits humanity.
That's a really good point. So what can we do to make sure that happens?
Well, for one thing, we need to make sure that everyone has access to this technology. We can't let it become something that's only available to big corporations or governments.
Right. It needs to be democratized.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we also need to start thinking about the ethical implications of quantum computing. Like, what happens when we have AI systems that are more intelligent than humans? How do we ensure that they're used responsibly?
Those are big questions.
They are. But they're questions that we need to start asking now.
Okay, so we've got all these potential benefits, but also some potential risks.
Right. It's always a trade-off.
So where do you personally stand on all of this? Are you optimistic about the future of quantum computing?
You know, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has the potential to solve some of the world's biggest problems.
Hmm.
But we need to be careful. We need to be thoughtful. And we need to make sure that we're using this technology for good.
I think that's a great message to leave our listeners with. Quantum computing is a powerful tool, but it's up to us to decide how we use it.
I agree.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive, and I want to thank you so much for joining me and sharing your expertise.
It was my pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We hope you learned something new and maybe even had your mind blown a little bit. Until next time, keep exploring and stay curious.